Well, our theme verse this year is 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And yet, in reality, most of us are prone to wanting to know how to calculate things out, wanting to make sure that everything seems logical, and that we can understand everything before we make our decision. That's just the way we tick. That's the way we're made. But that's not the way of the Christian life. For the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the Christian life really begins by faith, and it is to continue as a journey of faith. And as we begin this series entitled Faith for the Future, we want to learn how that an expression of our faith today can impact our tomorrow. And for some who will hear these messages in the upcoming weeks and even this morning, how that an expression of their faith this morning in Jesus Christ will not only affect their tomorrow, but as Brother Jimmy said a moment ago, will affect their eternity by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we often talk about faith. We use phrases like keep the faith, and we talk about our belief system. But how do we express that faith in Jesus Christ? And this morning, I want to share with you three ways that we as Christians can literally live out this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says this morning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. What a familiar verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we will be a people who are expressing our faith in our daily lives, then we must first of all this morning trust the Lord from our heart. We must trust the Lord with all of our heart. That's where the life of faith begins. It does not begin in the mind. It begins with our spiritual heart. Trusting the Lord with all of our heart. The heart is the totality of our innermost being. The heart is what God sees and recognizes where man cannot see nor recognize. And so God says, I want you to trust me from within your very innermost being. I want you to put your faith in me. God's desire this morning is that each of us would trust the Lord entirely. You'll see that in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust the Lord entirely. You know, one of the verses that really convicts me on this subject is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be a follower of God as a dear child. How many of you have ever stopped to think about the faith that our children put in us? I remember when our children were younger, putting them up on top of the car maybe and maybe saying to Danielle or Larry, all right, now jump. Come on, now jump. And you know, it's an amazing thing. They always did. They just kind of flopped right down there. They had total trust and confidence that no way in a million years would Dad ever let harm come to them. They put their trust in us. And isn't it amazing that God says, would you follow me like that? Would you put your trust in me to know that I'll never ask you to do anything that would be detrimental to your health, to your spiritual well-being? I want you to trust me entirely. The Bible says in Psalm 118 in verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so God is calling upon us to trust in him from the heart. I remember when Terry and I were praying about coming to Lancaster. I had preached here in June of 1986 and in the upstairs room in the old building. And afterwards, I was told that 12 adults had taken a vote and they wanted us to come and be the pastor. They began to talk about the terms and conditions of that. They said, if you come, we want you to know that we can't move you here and there will be no salary. And we know that your wife's expecting another baby. We don't have any medical insurance or anything like that. We do have one lawsuit pending against the church, and I found out after I got here, there was another lawsuit pending against the church. What a blessing. But they said, if you want to come under these terms and conditions, we'd love to have you come and be our pastor. You know, it's an amazing thing, the next Monday morning as we were on family vacation driving through the Sequoia National Park, that God began to burden my heart with the fact that this is where he wanted us to come. And that was the greatest step of faith to that point in our lives that Terry and I took together. But we have seen that God honors us when we trust him entirely. When we trust in him with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. I want to tell you, nothing made sense logically with respect to coming to Lancaster Baptist Church. But by faith, we can see the invisible. And by faith, we can see God at work. And so we are to trust the Lord entirely. Then we are to trust the Lord exclusively. Notice again verse 5, trust in the Lord. Now, how many of you are good at backup plans? If this doesn't work, I'll do this. Most of us have plan B. But God says, I don't want you to have a plan B. I want to be your total trust. I want you to trust in me exclusively. Now, think about it. That's how it is with salvation. Jesus Christ wants us to trust in him alone for salvation. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse number 12, for neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. My friend, if you're here today and not sure that heaven would be your home someday, Jesus Christ wants you to trust in him exclusively. The Bible says in Psalm 49 and verse number 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You see, the fact of the matter is that none of us could ever buy our way into heaven or work our way into heaven or get enough religion to get ourselves into heaven. We must put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some churches in the past have said that if you would buy what they called indulgences and give a certain amount of money to their church, that your loved ones that precede you in death, they could help pray them up into heaven for you. But the scriptures say differently there in verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. I want to tell you, the only way that we can know for sure that we have a relationship with Christ is to individually put our faith in Jesus Christ and in his finished work at Calvary and to trust him as our Savior. And this is what we do for salvation. We trust in Jesus Christ, but not only for our salvation, but also for the security of our lives. Different people look to different things for their security. But the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You see, we're not to trust in our own reasoning or plans for security as much as we're to put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do that with respect to salvation. Yes, we trust Christ for eternal salvation. But we also do that with respect to the security of our everyday lives. And by the way, that's why stewardship is about more than just giving money. Christian stewardship is not merely about giving money. It is God's way of raising Christians who will trust him and who will have faith in him. It has everything to do with our trust in him. One old preacher years ago said it this way. He said, God's grip don't slip. And when you put your trust in Christ to save you, I want to tell you something. No one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. And when you put your trust in Christ for your provision and for your family needs, God will take care of you. So we trust the Lord, first of all, from our hearts. Now, the second way we express our faith is by acknowledging the Lord with our decisions. By acknowledging the Lord with our decisions. Notice what it says now in verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, many of you memorized that as youngsters, but let's say that verse together, okay? Verse 6, ready, begin. In all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. God says, I want you to trust me from your heart, and I want you to acknowledge me in every decision that you make. We are to acknowledge him, first of all, personally. In all of our ways, we need to acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. You purchased me with your blood. This is not my life to live any longer. Lord, I want you to live your life through me. Lord, what do you want me to do here? And we need to acknowledge the Lord in our thoughts like this. I read this past week in Newsweek magazine, a young girl named Ashley Williams, who attends high school in Honolulu, Hawaii, has been wearing a shirt to school that said, what would Satan do? And the administration finally got enough complaining from parents that they began to discuss whether they should allow satanic emphasis like that in print on their campus. And her argument was, if they can wear a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Then why can't I wear a shirt that says, what would Satan do? What a tragedy, by the way. And that's more than a joke. There are growing numbers of young people who are thinking that way. But you know, as Christians, it's not enough to just say, what would Jesus do? We need to begin doing what Jesus would do. And we need to consider in our thoughts the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to acknowledge him personally. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But then verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In every way acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. So we acknowledge him in our thoughts. We acknowledge him with respect to our giving. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, again, it's a personal matter. It's not just y'all out there in the whole congregation. It's every one of you. Let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. As God prospers us, then he wants us to acknowledge him with that prosperity. He wants us to say, Lord, you've blessed me. Now I want to bless you. You know, we often hear the song and the saying, and I'm glad to hear so much of it in these days, God bless America. Don't you love that phrase? And I love that song. And I thank God that he has blessed America. But I believe it may be time for America to bless God. And it's especially time for Christians to bless God. And this is one way we do this. We say, Lord, you've blessed me. You've prospered me. Now I want to bless you. I want to honor you for what you've done for me. And so in essence, we are not giving to the church. We are giving to the Lord through the church. And we're saying, Lord, I want to honor you with this. I want you to know that you are first place in my life. A few years ago, a pastor friend of mine took his son to McDonald's, and he said when he got in there, he realized he just had a couple of dollars, and so he decided he'd order a couple of Cokes and some French fries. And they sat down there, and he said his young son began to kind of bring the French fries over by him. And he began to kind of corral them away from the side where Dad was and bring them over. And after a while, the pastor said he reached over and he took a fry or two. And finally, the little boy said, those are not your fries. Isn't it amazing? We don't have to teach our children how to be selfish. They figured that out pretty easily by themselves. And he said, I had to explain some things to my son, Brother Chapel. He said, there are three things I had to teach my son that day. He said, number one, I taught him, I am the source of your fries. Number two, I control your fries. And number three, I don't need your fries. You know, sometimes when it comes to acknowledging the Lord in giving, we're like that little boy with those fries. And we want to say, Lord, this is my stuff. But you know what? He gave us the fries, didn't he? And so as he prospers us, we want to acknowledge him with our thoughts and with our giving. We want to acknowledge the Lord as he honors and prospers us. And so we acknowledge him personally from our heart. And then, secondly, we want to acknowledge him constantly. As we mature as Christians, we want to come to that place where each and every decision, each and every day, we're acknowledging the Lord along the way. I love Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, that we could learn to trust in the Lord in two times specifically. First of all, in the times of adversity. Boy, when things are difficult, this is the time to trust in the Lord. And I think about the many, many needs that we face as a people. And I think about even in the early service this morning, preaching to folks, I'm sure some here today, their family being touched by cancer. One whose family lost a daughter to murder. Others whose families are experiencing turmoil and strife and being ripped apart in various ways. Now I want to tell you, friend, that God says it doesn't really matter how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. Be sure that it never comes between you and the Lord. Let him take that pressure and draw you closer into his bosom. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and acknowledge him during that time and let him direct your path in times of adversity. A fellow was walking through the Little League Park area recently, and he walked past several of the diamonds there, and he couldn't help but stop at one of the ball fields and notice that the score was 18-0. And they were just in the first half of the first inning. And he walked up to the first baseman. He said, boy, he said, you guys are losing 18-0. And he said to the young man, he said, you don't really look too discouraged about it. The little boy said, discouraged? Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even come to bat yet. And you know, when you stop and think about it, when you have the Lord on your side, the story is not fully told until you see him face to face. In times of adversity, you can trust him that he's working. He's working all things according to his purpose. And then, let me say quickly, we need to acknowledge him in times of plenty. When everything's going our way, when we have everything, we need to acknowledge him. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor Chapel, when I win the lottery, I'll tell you, I'm going to build a couple of those buildings for you. And I always say, no, you won't. You know, if we won't honor God now, we probably won't honor him then. Now, I must admit, I do think about what it would be like if someone hit the big one, you know? Just dreaming, of course. But you know, the truth of the matter is, even if we had every bill paid for and money in the bank to do this, that, and the other thing, we still need to honor the Lord. Because we're not giving just because there's a need. We're giving to keep our hearts tender towards God. We're giving to keep a right heart relationship. And so if we want to be a people who express our faith in this hour, then first of all, we need to trust the Lord from our heart. And secondly, we need to acknowledge the Lord with our everyday decisions so that He can direct our paths. And then notice thirdly this morning, we need to learn how to honor the Lord with our blessings. To honor the Lord with our blessings. Now, we touched on this a moment ago, but let's realize every blessing comes from God. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My friend, every good thing that comes into my life and yours is from God. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The meals that we eat and the homes where we live and every blessing that we have in this life is a gift from God. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And so we must recognize that all of these blessings come from God. Every one of them are a gift from Him. Now then, we need to learn to honor the Lord with our substance. You say, well, where do you get this from? Notice if you would in verse 9 of Proverbs 3, verse 9. It says it, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So if I'm going to be a Christian who has an expressive faith, who's living out faith, then I need to learn what it means to honor the Lord as He honors and blesses me. And there's two ways that he mentions this. First, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. The word substance speaks of our capital. It speaks of those things that God has allowed us to possess. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all things richly to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean that we give to get eternal life, but it means that as we give to the Lord and to His work, that we are participating in something that has eternal value. It's more than a car that will rust or a house that will burn. It is touching souls that will go on for all of eternity. We honor the Lord with our substance. Substance is the capital that we possess. And that's why verse 9 in the first portion of the verse speaks to the issue of a special offering. Special offerings were taken throughout the Scriptures to build the tabernacle, to build the temple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, for the needs of the early church. Here we see the word substance, meaning that which God has blessed us with. We need to honor Him with those things. One preacher was talking to a farmer one day, and he was out at the farm visiting. He said, Joe, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 of those cows to the Lord? Joe said, I sure would, Pastor. He said, well, Joe, let me ask you this. If you had 100 chickens, would you give 50 of those chickens to the Lord's work? He said, I sure would, Pastor. He said, well, Joe, if you had 2 hogs, would you give 1 of those hogs to the Lord for His work? He said, now, that ain't fair, Pastor. You know I've got 2 hogs. Now, we're really ready to talk about things in the abstract. It's just in the concrete that we struggle with. It's just when it comes down to the issue at hand of where we're at. But God says, listen, everything in your possession is mine. And Christian stewardship is this. It's recognizing He's the owner, I'm the manager. He's the owner, I'm the steward. And when we trust and honor God in stewardship, we are saying, God, I recognize it's all yours. And I want to honor you with the substance you've allowed me to obtain. So we honor the Lord with our substance. Notice the next part of verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, the word increase speaks of revenue. It speaks of when God blesses us on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis. This speaks of more of the regular ongoing offering that we bring to the Lord. The substance is that which we have acquired. The increase is that which is coming in on a regular basis. Now, notice in your notes a scripture that speaks about this matter of honoring God with first fruits. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here we see in Malachi, God says, I want you to prove me. God says, I want you to try me and prove me. As you receive revenue, I want you to remember me with the first fruits of the increase. Now, someone says, well, Pastor Chappell, that's in the Old Testament, and we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. And I'll go right there with you. I don't have a problem with that. But I do not believe that under grace I would do less than what I would do under law. So I believe for someone who's just getting going in this matter of honoring God, The tithe may be considered a benchmark, starting point of their faith, in order that they might begin to say, Lord, I really want to honor you as you have blessed me. I want to honor you and remember you because you are so good to me on a regular basis. So God says two things in this verse in Malachi 3. He says, prove me. You know, I like what he says in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, shall it be measured to you again. God says, why don't you just try me? You've heard of the Pepsi challenge. Try the God challenge. God says, just try me. And then he says, not only prove me, but he says, prove me now. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God says, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. Now, one lady was walking out of church, and her pastor had been talking about things like this. They were getting ready to build some buildings. And during the course of the message, he says, now, I don't know exactly whose hearts God's going to touch or how this is going to be done. And the lady said, Pastor, I'm so glad that you said in your message that you didn't know who exactly was going to give to the new building, because for a minute there, I thought you might ask us to be a part of this. Well, guess what? God wants all of us to have a part. God wants all of us to acknowledge him. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, listen very carefully. We do not give to get. We give to worship. Giving is a part of our worship where we, through our giving, ascribe worth to God. And we say, Lord, you're worthy, and I want to give this to you. But while we are against this prosperity-type gospel preaching, we very much believe in the principle of sowing and reaping and in the fact that you cannot outgive God. The Bible says in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to tell you, friend, you can trust him. Philippians 4:19, I love it. But my God shall supply all of your needs. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this whole matter of faith for the future, this whole matter of considering stewardship issues and praying about March 22nd, what's it really all about? Here it is, right here. It's all about trusting God. Sometimes we get a little jittery and nervous. Sometimes someone will visit a Baptist church and the pastor speaking on a subject like this and the husband will say, see, Ethel, I told you, that's all they talk about, it's money. Well, we didn't want to disappoint you this morning. But 12 of the 38 parables of the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that very subject, because he says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You can't really talk about trusting God if you don't enter into this subject. And the bottom line this morning is that many of you are sitting here wondering, can I really trust God with my adversity? Can I really trust God with my family need? Could I really trust God with my finances? It's a struggle in your soul. You see, you're logical and you want to see it work on paper. I got a clue for you. It never does. It just doesn't work on paper. But it works in the life of faith. And what I want you to know this morning as we come to the final moment of this message is that whether it's your soul and salvation, you can trust Jesus Christ. Whether it's your family trial or personal need, you can put your trust in him and he'll direct your path. Whether it's your finances and stewardship, you can put your trust in him too. He'll not leave you begging for bread. You see, he's the one who made us. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. No means of measure can define his love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. You can trust him. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out a blessing. He is eternally steadfast. He is empirically powerful. He is impartially merciful. He is the centerpiece of civilization, the Son of God, the sinner's Savior, and you can trust him. He can satisfy all of your needs. He supplies strength for the weak. He's there when you are tempted and tried. He sympathizes and sees. He guards and guides. He helps and heals. He delivers and defends. And you can trust him. He is the master of the mighty, the captain of the conquerors, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislatures, the governor of governors, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. You can trust him. His promises are sure. His life is matchless. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And you can trust him. And I wish I could help you this morning, but I know it takes the working of the Spirit of God in your life to show you that if it's your eternal destiny you're concerned about, you can trust Jesus Christ this morning. If it's your personal trial today, you can trust Jesus Christ this morning. If it's something like giving to the Lord, you can trust Jesus Christ to provide every need of your life today. He is trustworthy. Someone says, well, I've been disappointed by a pastor somewhere, a church somewhere, a friend somewhere. Well, we all have been, but I want to tell you, Jesus never fails. You can trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time to just be reminded of the fact that we can trust You. And Lord, we have that tendency to try to trust in our own selves, to try to figure out how we can make it. And I just pray that You'd help us, every one of us right now, just to be still and know that You are God. And I pray right now that You would take these verses and that You would do with them what needs to be done in each of our hearts. Like the surgeon's tools, that Your word would be a quick and powerful tool today to show us and to do in us what only Your word can do. And Father, we pray right now that we would have a desire in each of our hearts to truly express that faith by trusting You and acknowledging You and honoring You with every blessing. Please bless this invitation today in this time of soul searching. May it be pleasing to You. Our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed. And